Oh, look at this. Vinny Jr., the first Brazilian to score in all three group stage matches since R9. Mm. You guys remember that him? That guy?
Vinny, especially the way this going into this World Cup, the vibes weren't super high, but then we have Vinny dancing on him.
Yeah.
Where was this game? In Miami, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Brazilian second home, Florida.
Baila, Vinny, baila.
So that was actually R9 and Rivaldo, which did you see the clip of R9 and Rivaldo watching the Brazilian training?
I did not.
R9 was like, okay, but Rivaldo was like, he couldn't hide it on his face. He's like, dude, what happened to us? Damn.
I mean, it was great to see Vinny smiling and dancing and danza, Vinny. Vinny danza, right? The Paul Carr says Brazilians to score in all three group games at a men's World Cup. 2026, Vinicius. 2002, Rivaldo. We got 2002, Ronaldo. 94, Romario. And 1970, Jairzinho. These are all my favorite icon cards in EAFC, bro. These are classic. Right. Welcome.
Everybody remembers Jairzinho.
He was the best part of the trilogy.
He was before the one you saw, so that's why he went away.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. We are in KC, baby.
What an ugly city.
Don't start like that.
It's a beautiful people. But it's an ugly city. It's not a great downtown. We're staring at a crane and what's going to be.
They're building something in front of us. They knew you were going to be so critical that they're trying to fix up the place.
Can I be honest with you? I went to a coffee shop, didn't realize it was a little TikTok-y, a little Instagram-y.
Why?
And there's a long line. I said, this is crazy. It's the only coffee shop for 4 blocks, so I had to get coffee quick.
Right.
And I'm like, is there not a line for just cold brew or coffee? And turns out they do the canning. You know, they do the clear plastic cans. A lady in front of me goes, do you guys do the can? There's 7 machines, lady. What do you think? Get out of the way. I need coffee.
Okay.
I was so mad.
Look, bringing that New York energy.
Bro, keep it moving.
To the Midwest.
But, Burn Ends Breakfast Burrito.
Okay,
go there after this.
Look at this. All right, Alexis.
I'm going to walk in and go, do you ladies do the canning?
Alexis is perking up. All right. So welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polan.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Alexis.
So, we're in KC today. Obviously, doing another watch party. Mm. Also, all we see are a bunch of Dutch people walking around in orange.
Bro, mad. I thought they were construction workers. I said, look at all these Ivans.
The Dutch are everywhere. Netherlands, Tunisia is happening a little bit
later.
There's
zero Tunisians here, bro. This is the Netherlands second home.
So, it's great to see. So, the Power and Light District is just a couple blocks away from us. And maybe we'll get to see the march to the match with all the Dutch people, so that'll be dope. But let's start today with Brazil and Vinicius Jr.
Right.
Because I think the things have kind of turned around as far as the narrative for Brazil. Because
and if you didn't watch this morning, Scotland's prime minister just declared war. Because that was
Scotland have a prime minister.
I don't believe they do.
But we're American. This is the American education.
You know what?
System.
I said prime minister instead of president. I think that's pretty well rounded. We're looking at the stats here, and I mean, it doesn't off of possession. You're like, that's not bad, Scotland.
Yeah.
You did pretty good. But then it gets worse from there.
Yeah.
21 total shots for Brazil. And you're not going to win a lot of matches where you give up 21 shots. But I think Scotland, you know, they reached a level where I think the entire country was excited and happy. And there was a lot of joy in getting and qualifying for the World Cup.
Since 1998, yeah.
It's been too long. But this is what happens when you start facing some of the bigger nations. And it is what it is. You know, I don't think anyone put a lot of money on Scotland to win this. You would have hoped that they would have been able to score a goal or, you know, make it tough.
Yeah. I think the presumption is because Scotland out of UEFA and the UEFA teams are, you know, technically, or they might seem like they might be better or whatever, the quality and all this stuff, but the Scottish still Scottish, bro.
Yeah.
And so they brought the fans brought the energy, brought the vibes, the players themselves, even though they did get 3 points, they won against Haiti, but was it really that convincing, a 1-0 win?
Can I give you my hot take?
Go for it.
Not my hot take, but here's what I've observed.
Go for it.
The way Brazilians play the sport
mm-hmm.
is the way the Scottish cheer on their nation.
Interesting.
The Scottish fans are the Brazilians of fans.
Okay. All
They're
right.
the Jar Jarzinhos, if you will. They're the Vinicius Juniors. I want to party with the Scottish, but I want to watch the Brazilians play the game.
That's fair. At least they, you know,
does that make sense?
They have something to offer.
Am I off?
No.
Did I just not have coffee early enough in the day?
It's not crazy. It's been fun hearing the reactions from Scottish fans, just being like, I've never been to the States and really taking it all in.
There are going
to
be so many Scottish Latino babies, bro. Have you seen the? There are just women just jumping on Scottish dudes in Miami, bro.
So we love.
This is gonna be wild.
But let's talk specifically about Vinicius Jr.
He's having a pretty good tournament.
Having a
all
good
things
tournament.
Considered.
Yeah. Because the you know, I think after the game against Morocco and they drew, there was, I mean, he did score in that game. He was the only goal for Brazil, but there was still the. You know, again, and we're part of, you know, the pushing the narrative, right? Because we saw them play against France and it was not great.
So
that recency bias is still kind of there. But Vinicius, to his credit, is becoming the leader of this team. Or
he's putting the team on his back.
Or legitimately just being like, okay, I am the best player and mm-hmm. I'm gonna create these opportunities. And even
I also feel like he knew Neymar was gonna come in the game at some point. He's like, let me plant the flag real quick.
Let the world know.
Just remind everyone that it's your boy.
So that's kind of just exciting to see. I mean, we see look, he's gotten four goals so far and not far off the pace of Mbappe, Messi, and Haaland. One assist, eight shots on target, and he's obviously clearly a problem for a lot of defenders. But it's just great to see that growing and developing into this World Cup.
Also, like, you know, like when we talk about Brazil, we're all talking about the R9 era, that, you know, Rivaldo era, the Ronaldinhos, the Joga Bonito, and there really isn't much Joga Bonito happening on the team. Vinny Jr. is the last vestige of that.
Sure.
He is a man of that era. You know what I mean? You could see the way he plays. So it's great to see him sort of blossom now. Reminds me of him at Real Madrid under Carlo Ancelotti, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to talk about Scotland for a little bit, because I think this was... It's hard to figure out why they were so poor in this game. And the first thing that comes to mind, and especially after the first goal, McKenna giving the ball mm-hmm. away, the first instinct is like, they seemed like they were scared. Like, I mean, I don't want to say
scared, but I think they knew they were punching above their weight.
But you can't think
but
that.
The problem is they beat themselves. They made their own mistakes. Yeah. This could have easily been a 0-0 or a 1-0 to Brazil, but they gave them. They gave him so many opportunities, and it's those moments where maybe it was too hot. Maybe Miami is just not the place
the
for
the humidity,
Scottish people,
I don't know. You know? I mean, luckily the heat hasn't been a huge factor in this World Cup.
What are you talking about? Hydration breaks, baby.
they did have a hydration break when it was like 72 degrees. Yeah, it was so funny.
In a dome. Air-conditioned dome. All right, everybody. We got apple slices breaks.
Okay. I understand, like, but like the McTominay, you know, was played in the Premier League for years.
Yeah, but
McGinn, these guys.
But Tierney, all these players that we know, and McGinn, that, you know, these guys are great individually. But when they come together, it just seems like whatever the tactics are to play for the nation as a team, all 11 have to put in a hard shift.
The quality is not there in all 11 positions.
But the problem is you even diminish the individual quality of the superstars unless they're in the final third. McTominay is doing whatever the hell he wants in Napoli. He looks great. he's doing late runs into the box. He's reminiscent of Frank Lampard in that way, where when you see him with Scotland, you don't get the same vibes.
But the thing is, every World Cup team is going to, you know, the quality is not going to be insanely high at every single position, but like, this is why you give the credit to Vinicius, because he is finishing the chances that he does get, right? Like,
and
McTominay should be kind of doing the same thing, but
we're glazing Brazil, and we should ask the question, are they a force to be reckoned with? I think no, they buns. Vinny is really good.
Okay.
And I think there's some players that are finding ways to get Vinny the ball. They're waiting for mistakes, but this isn't the world beater Brazil that we're used to seeing. This, do you have confidence? Would you put Brazil in your top three in this tournament so far?
Top three, no.
Okay, yet, so no. Then what are we talking about? It's Brazil.
I mean, the U.S. has at least the third spot.
Bro, one, two, and three, bro. The U the SMA, my G.
Okay. So yeah, this is you know, but and then another positive note to see Neymar return to a World Cup was also kind of cool. He played a few minutes, I think he did well in the 15 minutes that he did play, but I think the bigger story is just how excited the fans were.
Reminded me of when Pirlo came on for NYCFC that.
Okay.
It was like all of a sudden just like, you know, took over the stadium.
You know, it was like an emotional moment for fans because he, you know, he hadn't played for the national team in a long time. And his inclusion in this World Cup, given that he couldn't even play the first two games, and you know, I kind of thought maybe don't bring this guy. You know, I don't see how necessary it is. But
they
gave him a moment. And
we're not really having the conversation about this. Is also probably his last World Cup.
Sure.
And we're not really talking about him. We're talking a lot about Ronaldo. We're talking a lot about Messi. Mm-hmm. You know. There was if you're Brazilian, that moment meant a lot to you. Yeah. And you could see it. You could see it the way the fans reacted.
And then and it reminds me of the game Mexico against Czechia. They gave
when Neymar came in.
When Neymar came in, Memo Ochoa got they did a almost ceremony retiring him. Mm-hmm. The players threw him up in the air and everything, and it was like a sweet experience. Not obviously not similar to, you know, Neymar is not necessarily definitively his last World Cup, but maybe we'll see how far they get and if they get knocked out or whatever, or if they win the whole thing, we'll see what the kind of celebrations are like and appreciation for him. But it was great to see that for sure. So this is, so as it stands right now, so Brazil would be playing Japan in the round of 32,
and the winner of Ivory Coast and Norway.
Okay. So, this is an issue. If that is the matchup, that's not ideal for.
This isn't great.
That's a tough game for Brazil. If that's in the round of 32.
I think. Look, I think Brazil could get past Japan.
They certainly could.
Sure,
but they would prefer almost anyone else.
Anyone else? They're like, send us those Cape Verdeans. But I think. In Norway, if Norway makes it to the round of 16,
okay,
I'm taking Norway over Brazil.
All right, that's an interesting. I think Brazil is overall better at most positions,
better quality on the back line.
But you obviously have Haaland,
who's stopping Erling Haaland. I know Gabriel Magalhães is there, but then who's stopping Sorloth?
Right, right.
So is Neymar going to get on Vinny's shoulders and wear a trench coat?
my early guess is, Norway would have a really tough time defending against Brazil. I mean,
sure, but that's going to be a gunfight.
Sure, sure.
That's going to be who scores the most. You know?
So,
that's going to be an NBA scoreline.
Okay, so a couple other games coming up. So tonight, the U.S. is playing Turkey. We're going to be watching the game probably at the Power and Light District here.
We'll be doing a reaction as well.
We'll be doing a reaction show immediately after that game. So make sure you join us on YouTube and across all the Yahoo channels. But feel free, if you're watching on YouTube and in the chat, feel free to leave your comments as well. But what are we looking forward to tonight in this game? Because I did see Pulisic. He said in a mix zone, he said that he's ready to play and, you know, that he's 100%.
Let me tell you something. I'm ready to play. Do you think I'm getting in? Buddy, take it easy. Huh?
I think I feel like it's sort of leaning, and I've seen a few journalists talk about this, but I feel like it's sort of leaning that so all the players on yellow cards will not be playing.
Of course.
At all. And then.
So it turns out it doesn't reset after the group stage.
I thought it reset after the group
stage. We've talked about this. It was mentioned. It was talked about. And I guess that's not the case. It resets after the round of 32. So you would be suspended for the round of 32.
Okay. So interesting. All right. So so that's a that's one factor. And then, and then Pulisic is another one about getting him some minutes. It feels like he's going to play. That's what I'm sort of getting at.
What I'm thinking is he's going to get kicked by Turkey. He's going to get.
Why? Why would they kick him?
Because he's their best player. So why wouldn't you try to take him out a little bit, or at least, you know, give him a harder time to do what it is that he wants to do? So I don't know why. Again, whatever. You know, they're pros.
I do.
You know how they are. They're sickos. They want to get in the game.
I sometimes feel like Pulisic gets the Neymar treatment a little bit. Like, you know. like to annoy him, to bother him. Obviously, Pulisic is not like a diver the way Neymar is, and doesn't exaggerate the way he used to, especially when in the
you could get him, you can turn him into a hothead a little
bit. Yeah, yeah. So and so it's unfortunate. So he's it's like part of. I think part of his development has to figure out how to navigate that, like getting fouled a lot and using it to your advantage.
Cool. Can we do that in the round of 32? Is that possible? So that's not today, you know?
US 17 obviously clinched Group D.
It's already clinched. This feels like a give-me game, and I don't necessarily want
it could be
Pulisic in it.
So the US are mathematically 99.9% likely to play Bosnia-Herzegovina, which is... you got to like that matchup. Do you want to prepare the players in any way? Give them game minutes. I think we heard yesterday about Christian Roldan being possibly not being unavailable. I don't know if we've confirmed that he's 100% unavailable. But this is we're looking at the third place team standings. And
now you'll notice some of these teams have only played two games, so this will shift. But this gives you a good idea of where certain teams are. So we're looking at Scotland. They're most likely out. If any, you know, Belgium gets a win under their belt, they're going to start knocking some of these down. It's the top eight that make it into the next round.
Yeah.
So South Korea, they've only gotten 3 points out of their three games. You've got Bosnia-Herzegovina, which is why we're pretty confident that that's who's going to play, because it doesn't look like anyone's going to hop over them. But, I mean, there's a lot of questions as to do you really need to play any of the starters in this game against Turkey? Yeah. Bosnia-Herzegovina is not an easy team to beat.
They are not. Yeah, they're.
I would really love if all of our starters were in their best possible, you know, shape, health, form. Please, you know, rested. What else?
I get it. I mean, yeah, it's always that conversation of rest versus rust. Honestly, this is the only person I actually would like to see play a little bit is Pulisic. Even if it's 15,
I think you're crazy.
15, 20 minutes.
They've had whole seasons. I don't know that you're going to build a little bit of rust.
Yeah, but he's literally only had 45 minutes.
If you bring him in the 80th, I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Just, if he starts, I'll be like, what are you doing?
Just so he can test out the calf with in-game minutes and really so he can understand his own body.
You know what I think? You know what? Put on a penny, run on the sidelines. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Do one of them joints.
Do some high knees.
Yo, you know what I mean? Or them joints where you're kicking your feet up. You know what I mean? Running down the sideline, you know?
So, So
get in a lunge or two.
Bosnia-Herzegovina, they have, they scored. I forgot who scored. It was an itch. It was somebody itch at the end. But scored a fantastic goal in their last game. Did they play? I forgot who they played. Qatar. I don't remember who they played. Anyway, you can see there's flashes of brilliance on that team. Mm-hmm. Edin Dzeko scored as well.
So angry when he came out of the game. He's old as hell too.
Pretty much at every position, I think the U.S. has an advantage and is better.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, diminish Bosnia-Herzegovina at all. But yeah,
we're talking about Bosnia-Herzegovina. These are the hard whites. You know what I mean? These are the Latino.
You're swishing a wine.
A lot of tannins in this one. This is barnyardy. These are the hard whites, bro. They are going to go after
that. That should be their nickname.
Hard whites is a fire.
The hard whites
could
also be like Albanian.
Yo, all the Balkans, all the bro. I don't even know if Bosnia is considered the Balkans. All of y'all in that region, you know what I mean? If the word Yugoslavia had ever been used for one of your countries or touches one of your countries, you have the utmost respect from all of us. I want you to know that. But that's what, all jokes aside, we're talking about a team that's not going to be easy to beat. You may be higher skilled than Bosnia-Herzegovina at every step of the way, that doesn't mean you're gonna beat them.
Sure. I mean, but it does feel, at the very least, it feels like on paper it kind of clears a path for the U.S. to get kind of far.
If we're being honest, you're like, oh yes,
yeah. I mean, it's not Japan, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So no, this is a fantastic you know, you couldn't have asked for a better kind of a scenario, which is like this third game is effectively meaningless,
right?
And you have you're very likely to play an opponent that you feel like you can mm-hmm. very much handle. So yeah, this is a a place where the confidence is kind of high. I mean, please let us know in the chat as well how you're feeling about it. But I'm looking forward to this game against Turkey, and it's one of those. Yeah, I mean, not only do I want, you know, the subs to get minutes, nobody to get injured, and then just prep for what should be a victory against Bosnia and Herzegovina. I mean, that should be where the U.S. MNT
prepare
confidence
yourselves
is.
For the hard whites. We've got some comments. Let us
know. Shout out to everybody.
What are you guys saying in them comments, bro? Let's go undefeated in the group today.
Let's go, BM Raider.
All right. Do we need to be, though?
There's four Eagles.
I'll take
there.
A draw.
There's four Eagles there. Let's go. Okay, what else we got? X Micro. Dang, no Neymar, meaning.
Here? He's right behind the sign.
No Neymar where? I don't know what you mean. Anyway, what else we got? Michael Raymond says, turns out Brazil won't be missing Rafinha. Yeah. I mean, look, if. It's I don't know how serious his injury is.
He hasn't played.
Did he? He played the first game. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Hamstring. Okay.
What's that? 4 to 6.
So we'll see if he ends up playing again. Can he power through it? Mm. But I mean, it's a weird situation with Brazil because they have a lot of. Like the a lot of players that can offer sort of different things, but like Rafinha is sort of a player that is like we see what he does at Barcelona, but he's also not. This season has not been the same as last season, right?
No, but he still has that. It's in his locker.
But it's also, even though we know he's a skilled player, it's like we're not seeing the brilliance when he's wearing a Brazil shirt.
No.
We haven't seen it in a few months. And it has this injury forced a lineup change that could have made Brazil a little bit better. And that has nothing to do with Rafinha itself, just a more of a chemistry thing.
You know who would have done bits in this team? Richarlison, man. I want to see.
Wow. Yeah, okay. You're the only person saying that.
The way people order in cities that are in New York, straight to jail. BM Raider, this is what I'm talking about. She waited in line for 20 minutes staring at a machine making cans. And then she said, do you guys do the canning thing?
They did. I did.
That's like walking into like Malecón and being like, you guys sell chicken? If you don't know, the whole window is a bunch of chickens in a rotisserie.
Right. For our fans around the world, Malecón is a Dominican restaurant.
That's like
in
walking
New
into
York.
McDonald's and going, do I smell French fries?
Okay.
The lady from the Bronx is going to be like, do you want French fries? Yes or no?
Michael Rim said, Bosnia and Herzegovina is the most CONCACAF team of Eastern
That's
Europe.
That's facts, bro.
Okay.
When you say dark arts, their ants are going to start putting them scars over their heads. Yeah, they mean something different.
Hey, you know what that means? Invite Bosnia and Herzegovina to the Gold Cup.
They're also invited to the Quince, bro.
So let's go. David from Tampa Bay said, it's like Steve Clark's plan was to let the team beat themselves so they can lose on their own terms and manage how bad the goal differential was going to get.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is our plan. They're playing checkers. We're playing chess, baby.
The World Cup for Scotland has just been fairly disappointing.
This is a great first step.
I mean, the qualifying, the scenes during qualifying.
Ex-Michael Remezan McDominini.
That's what we need. We need more McDominini.
Bro, Dominini.
McDominini.
Was it? The other has another nickname. It's like it means like young fella or something.
No, I don't know. Norway over Brazil is wild.
Yo, go to what's our official betting app? Go to Yahoo Bets or whatever it is and put your house on it.
Yahoo Bets does not exist, but whatever. Yeah. I'm sure there's some betting partner there.
I guarantee it.
We got one more comment. Oh, okay.
Okay, this is my half-brother. Good morning, bro. Looks like you need some Cuban coffee. The grind don't stop, though. Love y'all. Bro, this cold brew tastes as bad as Kansas City looks. It's an ugly city. Hold on. Lean over. Look at the top of that building. Lean over. Look at the top of that building. I think that's their ball drop. I swear to God, I think this
it's
is
like a gold. It looks beautiful.
No, this one. Look at the one that says Folly.
Okay.
See at the top of it to stick with all the right. ball? Do you see it?
I don't see it. What
look
are you
at the top
about?
Of that building right there.
Yes, yes. I see
Do
that
you see
one.
The little ball? The little ball with the stick? Silver.
I don't. What are you talking about?
Look at. Follow the building.
Who cares?
No,
we got
to
go
no,
to
I
break.
Need you to see it. Look at the word Folly. Follow it straight up. Do you see
yes,
it on
yes.
the roof?
Oh, yes. I see
think
that.
This is their ball drop. This is sad, though. It's a parking lot across the street.
Okay. We'll be back and we'll explore more Kansas City.
The barbecue's good here, though.
During the break. We'll see you in a bit. All right. right. We're looking at for this tweet from Golazo America. It says, Mauricio Pochettino's love for Chick-fil-A might be the most unexpected storyline of the USMNT World Cup so far. Yeah, this is...
Also, he likes country music.
All right. I mean, I've heard a lot of like South American people. They're into country music because it's an easier music to understand the lyrics to.
Okay, that makes sense.
I've heard that often. Okay, people.
He's really trying to get on Christian Pulisic's good side.
No, man. So all right. Well done. Another thing I've heard. The Europeans discovering Popeyes, and that's been another. They're like,
right, you never, you can't go back now. This is a whole new world for you. Popeyes might be the best fried chicken in the world. Shouts to Popeyes. You know what I like? I like when things are the best, and we've got the best betting expert on Yahoo.
Yeah, let's
go. The one, the only Ben Fox is back, everybody.
Now we're back to remote, Ben. How are you doing, man?
Doing well, guys. First of all, fantastic transition. That's why you're the best in the game right there. Going from fried food to meat. Popeyes is fantastic as well. I mean, you can't go wrong with Chick-fil-A either, but both great. Doing well. I'm processing. I'm also a Timberwolves fan, so I'm processing a LaMelo Ball deal. I don't know if you guys are – I know you're in World Cup mode, so there's a lot going on.
Rumors. Okay.
Is that official?
Is that official?
Yes, he is going to the Timberwolves. Nas Reed and a bunch of stuff going to the Hornets.
We're breaking basketball news as well. We're doing it all. But let's start with
your team. Always gets better when you get rid of Randall, apparently.
So true. Thanks for Cap, by the way. Let's go to the USMNT against Turkey. This is an interesting situation in that the game is not important to either team. It will not affect any of these standings in the World Cup. So how do you handle, from a betting perspective, a game like this?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is kind of where you have the fan perspective and then the betting perspective, right? And sometimes they're the same and sometimes they kind of diverge. I think soccer, one of the fun things, every sport, but especially soccer, right? Live betting, in-game betting is incredibly popular. This game would be one that stands out as to a perfect game to bet in game, right? Because we don't really know what the motivation is for the U.S. I don't think they're going to go out there necessarily not trying to win, but ultimately you kind of have two goals, right? You guys were talking about it. One is keep Christian Pulisic healthy, whether that is he doesn't play at all, whether that is he starts and plays 30 minutes, he plays a half, whether that's he comes on as a sub. Whatever they decide is best, the only thing that matters is he feels good going into the next game, because the U.S. now has that luxury, which we haven't had before, right? And having the third group stage game essentially not matter as to the seeding, because we've already clinched the number one seed. There's nothing more we can do in the group. We've kind of done all that we can do. So take that luxury, use it to your advantage. And then the same thing, I think, as you guys were discussing as well with the yellow cards, right? So are these other players, four players, I believe, on yellow cards, including Balogun? Do you want to play them a little? Do you want to play them not at all? But again, the number one thing is they don't pick up a yellow card. And so I think that's a difficult thing as well from a betting perspective, right? If you have a defender, all of a sudden Turkey forward goes by him in a normal match, let's say an elimination match, you might take a yellow card. You might just need to let him go by, right? And if he scores a goal, as odd as that sounds, it's not the end of the world. It's much worse to take that yellow card and be out against potentially Bosnia, right, whoever you face in the round of 32. So from a pregame handicapping perspective, I think it's really difficult. I think I would kind of watch the first 15, 20 minutes, see how the U.S. looks, see who's playing as well in the starting 11, and then kind of go from there. And same thing with Turkey. If they don't really have anything to play for, they're out. It's going to be that, you know, like the NBA, right? The 1-2-3 Cancun. Are they happy to be there? Do they want to play? Do they want to win 3-0? Or is just kind of like, yeah, whatever. We thought we were going to be better in this World Cup and now we're out. So really difficult from pregame. I would probably be betting Turkey in game at some point. But it's really hard to see. We just have to see kind of what the U.S. looks like.
Much like, you know, going to a barbecue place here in Kansas City, ordering the turkey seems like a mistake. It's a bit dry. They haven't scored any goals in this tournament. I think they're at -275 to score a goal in this game. Are you thinking they do it? Is this something you'd bet on?
It's also not for lack of trying, right? They've taken like 40 shots.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't think you guys are going to be invited back to Kansas City, but that's a separate, separate.
At least
Alexa,
the barbecue's very good here. I said the barbecue is great. The ribs are incredible.
Kansas City is great. Yeah, look, Turkey, I think they've had about 75% of possession in their games. They've generated a good amount of expected goals. They just haven't gotten the results. Like, they are a good team. They were the second favorite behind the U.S. in this group to advance. So before the World Cup started. So obviously disappointing for them. I do think they'll score. Like, that's tough odds at -275. But I do think that they'll score in this game. Both because, one, I think the U.S. at some point will have some version of kind of a B team out there. And two, I think Turkey will be motivated just to not leave the World Cup with a bad taste in their mouth. Even if this is a draw or they somehow lose the game, it's hard to believe Turkey's not going to score at least one goal in this match against the U.S. side. That it's human nature, right? They don't have anything to play for. They're just not going to necessarily have the same level of effort that you had in the first two games.
Okay, and then Sweden is also, they were kind of humiliated against the Netherlands. But how do you feel about Sweden and their potential in their next game, betting on them, and what kind of support they have?
Yeah, this is a tough one. Japan, a good team, and obviously also needs the points. I think in Japan's last 12. International matches, including the World Cup, they've won 8, they've lost 1, and they've had 3 draws. So they are a very solid team. And 8 of those 9 have been clean sheets or shutouts for Japan. So they've been playing well for a long time. Sweden, yes, not necessarily exactly what you wanted against the Netherlands, to say the least. To me, I'd be looking at this as a draw would be the way, potentially, if you weren't betting on Japan, only because when we have these concurrent games, right, as a bettor, we also get to see what the other match is going on. And certainly you have Tunisia against the Netherlands. You would expect Netherlands to be taking care of business. Let's just say they're up 3-0 in 30 minutes or something. All of a sudden, that strategy could change a bit. And Japan knows, okay, we can't match that goal differential. We're not going to win the group. We know we're through with a tie for sure. Maybe that changes a bit. And Sweden is obviously kind of going for it regardless. So that's something, again, where it's kind of, you want to look a little bit in game, but it's hard for me to see Sweden winning that match in a match where Japan still needs to get something out of it.
Right. Yeah. What about the Netherlands? You mentioned the Netherlands. They've scored 7 goals so far in this tournament. They seem to be banging on all cylinders.
Most on Sweden.
Yeah. Look away, Sweden. Do you think they maybe take the over? How are you feeling about Sweden? I'm sorry, about the Netherlands.
Yeah, look, this is I'm not usually the person to say, hey, tack on a bunch of money line favorites into a parlay. But I think if you're going to do that, or we're so inclined, I think Netherlands is a pretty safe one. They're somewhere between -800, -1100. That's basically over a 90% chance by the implied odds to win this match. And Tunisia has not looked too great in their two matches. Obviously, if you're the Netherlands and you face the better teams, you look that good against the better teams in your group, and then you get to face the team that's probably played the worst in the last match. Outside of kind of having a letdown, it's tough to see, you know, Tunisia putting up much of a fight in this game. I think tacking on the Netherlands money line, they'll win by a couple goals. I think the spread is even 2.5 goals. So they're expected to win by a good margin. I think that they get that done and kind of continue that momentum into the knockout round.
Maybe we throw a little juice into the game, huh?
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know.
How much money you got in your pocket?
but it's interesting because Tunisia fired their head coach after one game, and then they brought in Bernard. And
he should have been fired after the second game.
Well, basically, they're having same a exact one. Performance.
It's always the coach's fault, right? It's never the team. It's always the coach.
Yeah, it's never the 11 guys out there.
Can you find the 11 guys? Yeah. Anyway, Yan Diamande has been a really incredible star and shining at this World Cup, and also has had a fantastic story that he came from UPSL and was just like not really discovered in MLS and stuff like that. But he has a plus 135 to get on the score sheet. Do you think he scores today? Is that a good, you think it's a safe or a good bet?
Safe bet? I'm not sure. I think a good bet, though. Like, we've seen Curaçao now in the two games. They did have that draw against Ecuador, but these kind of now soccer has more and more advanced kind of analytics. You can look at expected goals. They lost 7-1 to Germany. They had 4.2 expected goals kind of allowed. And in that Ecuador game, they had 3.05, right? So, and Curaçao had 0.48. And in that Germany game, they had 0.41. So, in other words, they're giving up a lot of expected goals. They're not generating a lot of chances. It seems like that should be similar for Ivory Coast again today, where whether that's 2-0, 3-0, a comfortable win. And obviously they, again, need the points to get to the next round. So we'll be highly motivated. So I think there'll be plenty of goals to go around. And I think he's one of those goal scorers they'll have for the Ivory Coast today.
Okay.
This is why this becomes my favorite segment. What the fucks are you betting on?
I don't know why we don't have graphics, music.
Where's the sponsor?
a little animated right? Ben Fox
sponsored by OnlyFans.
Okay, obviously, you know, Ben is a huge proponent. Anyway,
big fan.
We just met. Apologies.
I'm
having trouble hearing you guys. I can't. It's going out. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a real, the reception in here is crazy.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, Ben, Kansas City just got cell phone towers. So,
Ben, thank you so much for joining us, Ben, a betting expert here at Yahoo. Always a pleasure to join us. And we'll see you next week with some more you know, suggestions for some fun bets. Ben, thank you so much, brother.
Sounds good. Enjoy the games, guys.
All right. All right, we got
to take a look at some comments. What are the comments saying? Maybe they got some names.
Yeah, let's
for
see.
The Ben Fox
segment. Okay. Without Bosnia, there would be no John Wick. Be Morton.
Well, wow. On point.
This is where you understand the contributions that Bosnia and Herzegovina has brought to the world. We appreciate it.
Is Alexis the gorilla of Kansas City?
Yo, Casey, go after this man.
It's a beautiful grouping of people. In a not so pretty city. And that's,
man,
all it is.
They're going to throw your coffee back in your face, bro.
It would have been faster than waiting behind the lady asking, do they do cans here?
Okay. What else do we got? Travis, the Travis says, do we think he's listening to AI country song?
I don't think he's ever heard a country song before. He's just like, whatever Ballistic likes, I like.
Yo, these
AI. He said Chick-fil-A. You know what Chick-fil-A puts on the bottom of their cups, right?
Country music?
No. Isn't that the one with the religious thing?
Or
is that In-N-Out?
I don't know. I mean, I know Chick-fil-A is kind of religious, but I didn't know they put anything on their cup.
I'm just saying. This is my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
It's like when you go on a date with a girl and she's like, I love chess. You're like, I've been playing chess my whole life.
It's like, hey, can I have a Pepsi? Like, no, we only offer the blood of Christ.
Okay, well, there you go. Let me get the deal.
Okay. Akbaka Ram said, what are the betting odds that Poch is MAGA?
Let's get Ben Fox back on the line. He was a little happy to take that phone call.
If he didn't smile during the thing, it would have been a whole other controversy. He's trying to get out of this country.
Historically, in Argentina, if you're MAGA, would line up. Yo, the comments are going crazy. I love you guys, bro. It would line up.
Hilarious. Thank you. Shout out to everybody in the comments. Go to YouTube if you want to leave
some comments.
Ben was
like, why is this on my segment?
All right. We'll be back with more right after this.
Keep them comments coming.
Hi, welcome back to Cooligans Daily Live here at the World Cup. We're in Kansas City.
12-1 Eastern. Yeah. We're in Kansas City.
That's right. Okay, so let's look at let's talk about a couple matches and preview a couple others as well. But
I said Canada would lose to Switzerland. Turns out your boy was right.
Canada did lose, and they finished in second place.
Not terrible.
Not terrible.
They still qualified, but this isn't the way you want to go in. You got a draw against Bosnia. You have a big win against Qatar with a lot of damaging circumstances in it for your team because Ismail Kone is incredible. And then you lose to Switzerland. They're not going into the round of 32 with the most confidence.
Without a doubt, yeah. And I think for a team that is getting to the knockout rounds for the first time in their history, a better performance against Switzerland, I think, helps with that confidence. Shout out to credit to Canada. The first half was good. It was 0-0. The second half is where things kind of fell apart a little bit. Ruben Vargas, El Dominicano on Switzerland, scores beautiful
goals. That is 100%
true. Literally, we got Dominican representation at the World Cup. You love to see it, bro. But Switzerland, they're going into this knockout round with a lot of confidence. Two wins and one
they're
draw.
They're in form. They're in form for sure.
Without a doubt. But the issue for Canada.
Canada needs a Dominican.
That's the problem.
We've been talking about this for years.
It's like, I see what you're missing.
I'm looking at
we
you.
We all see it. Do you see it?
The problem is, Jesse Marsh, I think, doesn't have enough experience with Dominicans.
Okay, they're Dominicans out in Canada,
they
bro.
Are, bro. Go to a barbershop out there. I guarantee
you. The thing for Canada, though, is that them finishing in second, obviously, is still exciting for them to go on to the next round. But if they would have won the group, they would have hosted their round of 32
They would
game
have stayed in Canada. Mexico gets to stay in Mexico. U.S. Mm-hmm. gets to stay in the U.S. Canada has now got to go to where's Miami?
L.A. So, and they, I think, are most likely going to be playing South Africa. They're likely.
A team they can beat, truthfully. But it would have been great to have that home crowd, which they never get, and they've been getting it in this tournament.
Yeah.
And the vibes have been so good. I would have loved for Canada to have that moment.
So I saw Alistair Johnston talk about this. He was like, in the mix zone after the game, he was just like, oh, I'm getting all these questions, and everybody's asking, like as if this is kind of a negative situation. He's like, we did what we planned to do. We wanted to get to the knockout round.
We wanted to lose to Switzerland.
No. Well, they got to the next round and baby
they
step.
Did advance.
He's
like,
he's talking about it sort of from a bigger picture perspective and being like, for the Canadian program and the federation, this is a huge success to get to the next round. But even a draw against Switzerland would have been enough because they had the goal differential from the game against Qatar. Right. So it's slightly disappointing, but you could see, you saw what South Africa did to South Korea.
That's what I'm saying. The question is, like, did they get lucky? It's tough to say lucky because South Africa can beat you. They've also grown into the tournament.
And they haven't given up a whole bunch of goals or anything. Yeah. Like, it's not going to be an easy game.
They've gotten better game by game. So I would be, they're heading in opposite directions.
Can we see who Switzerland might play just so we could have seen who Canada might have played? Let us know.
Whisper it.
Really say.
He said stand by.
Oh, stand by. Okay. All right. So we're going to figure that out. All right. So
why don't we talk a little bit about Japan versus Sweden?
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough one for Japan, but I think they got this.
Given, I think
the way Sweden played against Netherlands, another team that likes possession.
Algeria was is who Canada.
Switzerland would have. So
Canada would have played Algeria versus South Africa. So, I mean, maybe kind of similar of a possible opponent. But Japan, Sweden. So Sweden, I think, especially after the game against Netherlands, it feels like they are a bit, I don't know, top heavy, right? Like the attacking options seem to be pretty good.
Yeah, you got Isak and Jokeres.
But outside of that, there is not too much. It's not too dynamic.
They're similar to Norway in the sense that their back line can be Swiss cheese. They can be easily distracted and pulled apart.
Or Swedish cheese.
Ooh, okay. Swiss cheese. But yeah, like the way I'm looking at this team is like, clearly there's a lot of talent, up front. You know, you've got Lindelof back there. You got Alanga, who's also come on strong.
Mm-hmm.
But Isak and Jokeres and Alanga are going to have to carry you. Yadi is also very, very good. But again, we're not really talking about, your back line. We're talking mostly about your attack. So if you're going to play five, Alanga now has to do some defensive work. And that's where I think you get caught out.
And this game against, I mean, Japan have been fantastic. I think that the draw against Netherlands says a lot about what kind of, not only just quality they have on the team.
Absolutely.
But also just the heart and the kind of the fearlessness.
Out of these two, I'm going with Japan.
Yeah.
I think Japan have what it takes to make a run. You're looking at the team now. And one of the things that you just have to understand about Japan is that they play very well as a team. You know, we talked about Sweden as like, well, this is your attack and this is your defense. Everyone on Japan plays together.
Yeah.
A very difficult team to break down, very difficult team to beat, and they could get you on your days, on their days. So.
Kamada, I think we were after the show yesterday, we were talking. I was talking about Kamada, and who plays at Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And he's scoring a whole bunch of goals. And,
I mean, Watanabe's on the bench. I mean, this team is stacked.
So, but it's one of those things where, like, Kamada, I mean, like, and I say this with all due respect, like, at Crystal Palace, they, like, barely give him the ball. He doesn't. Yeah. He's not really meant to be like, controlling.
Everybody, just watch.
But then on the Japanese national team, you see how incredibly important he is to the team, and it kind of highlights, like, especially when we're watching like Premier League, like these players are literally the best in their country, and then when they're on these club teams, they can barely get the ball.
Like, it was like Zinchenko, right? I would watch him with Ukraine and be like, where's this guy been?
So the depth of quality is just incredible with some of these teams. Okay.
I have a feeling it's going to look like this after today. I don't think we're going to see much in the difference in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, Netherlands has what a great scenario to have your final game against Tunisia, who have been abysmal.
Abysmal.
But we'll see. Anything can happen. Maybe Tunisia wants to, you know, not be totally humiliated.
I'm sure they don't want to be. I'm sure Kansas City thought this was a good idea, you know,
okay.
When they did city planning.
Next up, let's talk about Ecuador against Germany. Ecuador,
a lot of people had them as a dark horse, and it has not worked out.
It has not worked out. They
and
can't,
it ain't gonna work out against Germany.
Look, they're a good defensive team.
They haven't been the most stout defensive team.
There's a miracle that is possible. Ecuador gets a point and moves on. And I don't see them scoring much.
This is why we bring in Ben Fox, because we can't trust you, Christian. We're looking at, you've heard of all these players. Pacho, Champions League winner. Incapié, Premier League winner. Estupiñán, Caicedo, one of the best midfielders in the game. We're talking about these players. You've seen them. You know who they are. Then you get to their forward, Ener Valencia. That man is so old, okay?
he's still there.
I think he's been around for three different Ecuador logos on their shirt. Hey, this man has been around for a long time. The fact that they haven't developed another striker is what's held them back. Hopefully this inspires them and some of those, you know, younger players. Maybe there's like a midfielder who hasn't played striker yet and it opens up for them. Maybe, but we're looking at a team that came in with a lot of promise, and there was a lot of fanfare around Ecuador, and it hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen against Germany. Germany, even their B team, dude, they're just too stout.
Yeah, I mean, forget the game against Germany, because you kind of expect a loss here, but the collapse of the World Cup for Ecuador is the draw against Curaçao.
Yeah,
they just cannot happen.
Who's in fourth place, by the way? Curaçao. It's not like they used it. They didn't springboard anywhere.
So really disappointing so far for Ecuador. But if they could get a result here, there's a miracle for a possibility. And if they could get a win, oh my God, that would be unbelievable.
They need it in order to be one of the best third place teams because it would springboard them up. They're currently in 11th.
We're looking at the expected 11 for Germany. And
bro, Undav is on one, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he scored the two goals.
His name was Undavio and he was Ecuadorian, the level Ecuador would be in first place.
So, look, Germany probably don't have too much to worry about because of the... They already clinched the group.
They clinched the group.
There is a possibility that the team that they do play is not that strong, and
I mean, Undav is a backup. This is going to be a lot of their B team, and I think their B team is still going to be able to put a couple really good shots up against Ecuador.
Ecuador have to really go after it in this game. And given that Germany does not need a result here, anything can kind of happen. So we'll see where Ecuador are at versus, you know, a not fully, you know, a Germany team. Okay. Next up.
Paraguay versus Australia.
Let's talk about this. Is going to be an interesting one. I don't know if you there's a video of our friend Fabi, Freaky Fabi on Instagram. He had a film. He's Paraguayan. He's half Paraguayan.
Yes.
And he's there's an Australian guy that they found, and they were a group of Paraguayans were tossing him up in the air.
Yeah.
And screaming like kangaroo, we're gonna eat you.
Yeah.
Which is just, and the guy's like, he's like flipping them off, but he's like having fun with it.
Yeah.
But this is an interesting game where both teams need a result here. And we'll see what, like, I think this game is going to be incredibly chippy. Obviously, Miguel Amidon,
it's going to get muddy real quick. Miguel Amidon is suspended for this because of the red card for, you know, whispering, telling tales. you're not allowed. I kind of expect Paraguay to pull this out.
Yeah. I mean, the quality seems to be a little bit there for, over Paraguay over Australia, but we saw what Australia did to Turkey. These are like two very, very defensive teams, and we'll see kind of like they're gonna have to take chances to get a goal here.
Yeah, I can see Australia catching on the counter.
Yeah, this is a very even game.
Yeah, look at Torre and Iracunda. I don't know why they didn't start. Iracunda
made no sense.
And
yeah.
Metcalf against the U.S. I think your Tony Popovich was betting on the U.S. in that game. That's my theory. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Anyway, but just an accusation. We say crazy things on this show. They're not necessarily true.
Yeah, I actually like Kansas City. We're just joking on the show. But wait till you see it. But I'm looking at Metcalf and Iracunda to be influential. And I think you're going to see that they probably should have started. I just feel like maybe Paraguay just wants to walk away from this tournament with a little bit of pride, especially with Miguel Amidon not being in, and I feel like they'll be able to sneak one out.
Okay, so we're looking at the standings. Obviously, USA already won the group, so not really any question there. And I kind of like this game. I think it's one of those games that is, you know, because of the...
There's something to play for.
Yeah, because of the head-to-head, kind of took away the excitement of the goal differential and giving, like, fourth-place teams some hope.
Right.
This is a game that is, like, if you know, this was a knockout game. I mean, effectively, it is a knockout game for them. Because the loser of this game does not have the best of chances to move on.
No,
Australia with the better goal differential, yes. But if they go -1, -2, and they're in third place, that doesn't look like it might be enough.
No, it's not going to be this.
It's gonna go to goals scored, right? Like after goal differential,
yeah, that's a good point.
It's gonna be go to goals scored. So that's gonna also be a factor. Even if you lose or draw 2-2, 3-2, you lose 3-2, you still score those two goals. That will give you an advantage over the other third place team.
Of all the games we've talked about, this is the most on the line and the most evenly balanced of the two competitions. So if you're going to watch any of these games, I'd probably watch this one because this is going to have the most gusto, if you will.
This should be
you
fun
know
one.
Who else got gusto? The comments.
The comments are full of gusto.
What do you got for me?
Is Malo gusto in the comments?
Malo gusto. No me gusta is French for no me gusta.
All right.
Punch me. It's so spot on. I love you guys. First of all, why do we keep putting these comments on? This is great. Probably. It's going to make me sad.
We'll see. All right. What else we got? Japan national team versus Everton. Who wins? Okay, Paul.
Paul George Blagovic blows the Blazovic. That would be Japan.
Yeah.
Easily.
I mean, it's Everton.
Unless Valer and Balogun joins Everton.
Which we're all efforting right now.
We are not.
My guess for tonight is USA 1, Turkey 2.
How'd you have a good comment and then a bad comment, bro?
Paraguay, Australia. Okay, we got that. Yeah, so I think this is a... Look, the result doesn't necessarily matter. I would love... Just the way Mexico got the 9 points in their group, I think it would be awesome for the vibes and the future of the program if the U.S. could.
Paraguay, Australia tonight is massive. Going to be good. That is going to be a good one. You know what's not good is the view outside of our window. Can we show that? Can we show? We did send you a photo to our production.
Okay. Well, I don't think we... Oh, we didn't get it.
What is going on?
We can't turn the camera around. Do you want us to turn the camera? We can turn the camera around.
Oh, it's too blown out.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Hold on. No. Wait. No, wait. Hold on. I got this. I swear.
No.
I got this.
No, Alexis. Let it go.
Oh, there it is. Okay, look over here. Look to the right. Do you see that? Hold on. Do you see my hand? That right there. Hold on.
All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
We love you. Bye.